Imagine you just migrated, like your absolute highest performing Google Ads campaign.
Right. The one that's generating a solid, what, 400% ROI month over month.
Exactly. You authenticate the account,
Yeah.
you map the data, you click enable on this brand new platform, and you go grab a coffee.
Sounds great so far.
Yeah, except you come back an hour later to find you've already burned through thousands of dollars on broken tracking links and totally frozen manual bids.
Oh, man. It is a brutal scenario. And honestly, it happens every single day to seasoned performance marketers making the jump to Microsoft advertising.
Because they just assume the platforms are identical twins, right?
Exactly. I mean, they aren't. They might look similar on the surface, but the underlying mechanics, well, they're completely different.
So welcome to today's deep dive. If you are a mid-level or, a senior performance marketing specialist, you already speak the language of Google Ads natively.
Yeah, you live and breathe RSAs, conversion tags, quality scores, all of that.
Right. But you're looking for that sweet ROI arbitrage, lower CPCs, untapped B2B audiences. And right now, Microsoft Advertising, which honestly, a lot of people still intuitively call Bing Ads, that's the frontier.
It really is. But to capture that arbitrage, you have to build what we call the Google Ads migrants mindset.
I like that, the migrant's mindset.
Yeah, because a direct, copy-paste approach from Google to Microsoft, that is just structural sabotage.
Oh, absolutely. The architecture is different. The auction logic has all these weird, unique quirks. And the platform default settings are just incredibly unforgiving.
Super unforgiving. So we're going to map this new terrain today.
Right. We're covering the structural divergence of bid strategies, the server-side reality of Microsoft's tracking templates, recent auction tiebreakers, and the absolute must-do post-import audit.
Because before you can run campaigns in a new ecosystem, you really have to understand how the house is actually built.
Right. And on the surface, Microsoft's hierarchy looks like a mirror image of Google's. We're dealing with five levels here.
Yeah, so it starts at the customer level, which that basically serves as your Google Manager account or your MCC equivalent.
Okay, got it.
From there, it flows down to the advertiser account, that's where your billing lives, and then down to campaign, ad group, and finally, obviously, the ad level.
And the platform limits are pretty generous for most standard operations, right?
Yeah.
Like 10,000 campaigns per account, 20,000 ad groups per campaign.
Yeah, generally speaking, that's plenty. But down at the ad group level, there's a really strict cap you have to keep in mind.
Right, you're limited to 100 ads per ad group with a hard maximum of exactly 3 active responsive search ads alongside 20,000 keywords.
Exactly. And those limits enforce a baseline of discipline. But the real shock to the system for Google migrants, that happens at the campaign level.
Yeah, it's like trying to plug a European appliance into an American outlet.
That is a perfect analogy.
Right. It looks like it should fit, it feels similar, but the voltage is totally different and you blow a fuse immediately.
Oh, immediately. And in Microsoft advertising, that blown fuse is the bid strategy assignment.
So picture this. A veteran marketer comes over, builds out a highly segmented ad group, and goes to apply target CPA just to that specific cluster of keywords, which, we do in Google
All
constantly,
the time.
but the option simply isn't there.
No, it's gone. Since April 2021, Microsoft actually enforces automated bid strategies at the campaign level only.
Wait, so I can't assign target CPA or target ROAS at the ad group level at all?
Nope, not at the ad group level and not at the keyword level. You set the strategy once per campaign, and that strategy governs literally everything beneath it.
Wow, which fundamentally changes your whole campaign architecture.
It has to.
I mean, in Google, I might have a relatively broad campaign, and I'm relying on ad group level bid strategies to do all the heavy lifting, sort out the performance disparities between different product categories.
Right, but if you try that in Microsoft, you're forcing one overarching CPA target across wildly different intent
Yeah.
levels.
Which means I'm feeding the algorithm muddy signals.
Exactly. Automated bidding models, they rely on data density and pattern recognition. So when an algorithm calculates a bid at the campaign level, it aggregates the historical conversion data of every single ad group inside it.
So if you mix high intent, bottom of funnel keywords with broad top of funnel research terms in the exact same campaign.
The algorithm just averages them out. It ends up bidding way too low for your high-value prospects and way too high for the tire kickers.
Right, meaning tightly themed ad groups aren't just like a best practice on Microsoft. They are literally a mechanical requirement.
Absolutely. You have to build narrower, much more focused campaigns from the ground up.
So the algorithm gets a really clean, unified intent signal to optimize that single bid strategy.
Yes, precisely. But because your campaigns are forced into these hyper-specific, tightly themed structures, your tracking infrastructure has to map perfectly.
Because if your data isn't incredibly precise, those narrow campaigns will just starve.
Yeah, they'll completely stall out. Which brings us to the account settings. And honestly, a single misstep here can permanently sever your reporting accuracy.
Let's start with the permanently locked settings, actually. Because when you initialize a new account, your time zone and your currency are locked in stone. The absolute second your first billing transaction clears.
And that is terrifying if you mess it up. Imagine setting up a trial account late on a Friday, right? You leave the default UTC time zone.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And you realize 3 months later that your daily budgets are resetting at 7 p.m. local time and your ad scheduling is off by 5 hours.
The cross-platform reporting just becomes a nightmare. Because if your Google Ads account is running on Easter time and your Microsoft account is anchored to UTC, your Monday performance in Google will literally never align with your Monday performance in Microsoft.
Never. You will spend hours just manually offsetting the data in Excel just to calculate your blended ROAS.
And the only fix is to just abandon the account entirely and build a new one.
Yeah, pretty much. Start from scratch. And then we also have the tracking template, which is where we see the absolute highest volume of wasted ad spend from new migrants.
Right. So at the account level, your template has a maximum length of 2,048 characters.
Which is a lot. But the golden rule here, the absolute mechanical requirement, is that the template must begin with http://https or a recognized landing page placeholder like OhPearl in brackets.
Okay, I have to ask about the strictness here. Why is Microsoft so, pedantic about this specific OhPearl placeholder?
Right.
Why can't I just slap a UTM string to the end of a destination link like I do in a dozen other platforms?
It basically comes down to how Microsoft's ad server dynamically parses the final URL. This happens in the millisecond the ad auction takes place and the user clicks.
Okay.
The system uses that placeholder, which literally stands for landing page URL, as a delimiter. It tells the click processor, okay, here is where the actual web address ends, and here is where the tracking parameters begin.
And if you format it incorrectly, like say you just type OGM underscore source equals Bing without that starting placeholder.
The server just gets totally confused. It literally drops your actual destination URL and redirects the user to the raw tracking string itself.
Wait, seriously?
Yeah, it's a silent ad delivery failure. The system registers the click, deducts the cost from your budget, and sends the user to a completely broken, non-existent web address.
And your ad's probably still read as approved in the dashboard, right?
Oh, absolutely. So you won't even realize you're funding a black hole until you check your analytics and see, 100% bounce rate or flat zero conversions.
That is just terrifying. So you really have to lock down the master template at the account level so it covers all campaigns, ensuring every single click actually resolves properly.
Yes, account level is the safest bet.
Now, regarding tracking parameters, there's also a serious point of confusion around auto tagging. The platform has two entirely separate toggles. You've got UTM auto tagging and MSCL KQD auto tagging.
And Google migrants frequently conflate the two. So UTM auto tagging is configured via the auto tag type setting. This is what feeds your Google Analytics 4 properties, your Adobe Analytics, your CRM.
Right.
And you have three modes for it: inactive, preserve, and replace.
Okay, inactive is pretty obvious, but the difference between preserve and replace, that's critical for anyone running complex CRM integrations, isn't it?
Huge difference. Replace forces Microsoft to append its standard UTMs, actively overwriting any custom UTMs you might have manually coded into your URLs.
Oh, so if you use a custom underscore campaign structure to map leads in Salesforce or something, replace will literally destroy that mapping.
It will completely wipe it out. Preserve, on the other hand, is the safe default. It appends the standard tags for missing fields, but it leaves your custom parameters completely intact.
Okay, that makes sense. So UTMs handle the external tracking, but the MSCLKETA, that is Microsoft's proprietary click ID, right?
Exactly. And that toggle specifically feeds Microsoft Advertising's internal offline conversion tracking and goal tracking.
So turning on UTMs does not automatically activate the MSCLKED.
Nope. You have to enable both systems independently to ensure external analytics and internal platform optimization actually function properly.
Good to know. So, okay. With the foundation poured and the tracking fully locked, let's look at the actual auction environment, because the arbitrage opportunity here is pretty
It
significant.
really is. If you look at the StatCounter data from mid-2026, Bing maintains roughly 17.6% of the U.S. desktop search share.
compared to Google's, what, 76.3%?
Right. So it's a smaller pond, definitely. But yeah. The trade-off is the main draw here. You're looking at 30 to 42% lower costs per clicks for comparable B2B and high-value retail categories.
That is massive. Less market saturation just creates a highly efficient auction. And your reach isn't limited just to Bing either.
No, the Microsoft Search Network actually syndicates out to search partners like Yahoo, AOL, DuckDuckGo, and Ecosia.
Though I will say, if you are launching your very first test campaigns to establish a baseline, you should absolutely disable search partners initially.
Oh, 100%.
Because partner traffic quality varies so wildly depending on your vertical. You really want to isolate pure Bing performance first, so you can accurately gauge your baseline CPCs and quality scores before you just open the floodgates.
Yeah, keep it controlled. And honestly, the quality score mechanics will feel very familiar to Google users. Ad rank equals your quality score multiplied by your bid.
Right. On a 1 to 10 scale, heavily weighted by expected CTR, ad relevance, and landing page experience.
Exactly. But there is a massive architectural update from December 2025 that changes the bidding strategy entirely.
Oh, the exact match update.
Yes. Microsoft introduced an explicit auction tie-breaking priority specifically for exact match keywords.
Wait, so exact match isn't just a tool for controlling search terms anymore. It was literally an algorithmic tiebreaker.
Literally. If two advertisers have similar ad ranks and they're competing for the exact same placement, the auction engine explicitly favors the advertiser using an exact match keyword over the one whose ad triggered via broad or phrase match.
Wow, so it is a hard-coded structural advantage given to precision.
It really is.
And that completely validates the tight ad group structure we talked about earlier. You isolate those high intent exact match keywords because they literally push you higher in the ad rank tiebreakers.
Yep, it all connects.
Now we have to talk about the placement surface that is altering search behavior entirely. Copilot. Because there are two distinct elements here, and I feel like advertisers constantly mix them up.
Constantly. So first, there is the platform tool Copilot integrated into the Microsoft advertising dashboard itself. That is your generative AI assistant for, you know, spinning up ad copy variations, generating image assets, running account diagnostics.
Right. So that's basically the workflow assistant. The second element is ads in Copilot.
Exactly. This is the actual placement surface where your ads appear inside Bing Copilot chat conversations as an ad voice.
An ad voice.
Yeah. It's like a transitionary message that seamlessly appears below the AI's response. Mm. And Microsoft Copilot hit 320 million monthly active users in Q2 of FY 2026. That's 148% year-over-year growth.
Which is huge. And advertisers opted into this surface are seeing, what, 18% more reach and 12% more impressions without any premium on the CPC.
Yeah, basically free extra reach. But the engagement metrics are the real anomaly here. Click-through rates are 73% higher and conversion rates are 16% stronger than traditional search placements.
Okay, I have to pause on that. A 73% higher CTR. That is just an absurd jump for a text-based ad.
It sounds totally made up, but it's real.
If my ad is showing up inside an AI chat as an ad voice, doesn't that require a completely different psychological approach?
Yep.
Like, do I need to build separate campaigns with conversational chat-style copy just to capture that engagement?
You would think so, right? But the platform actually bridges that gap automatically. Performance Max campaigns and your standard search campaigns, they are auto-eligible for this placement.
Interesting.
Yeah. The AI dynamically contextualizes your standard ad text to fit the conversational flow of the user's specific chat.
Okay. So if a user is asking Copilot to, say, compare enterprise CRM software, the AI pulls your standard ad assets and just weaves them into a natural conversational recommendation.
Exactly. It feels totally native to the user's research process rather than a jarring banner ad interrupting it. And that native feel, that is what drives the 73% CTR spike.
That's incredible. So lower CPCs and conversational AI placements, those are massive value adds.
Yeah.
But the performance marketers dealing with enterprise sales or, you know, high ticket SaaS, they want exclusive audience data.
Oh, for sure.
They want targeting capabilities they simply cannot execute on Google. And that brings us to Microsoft's absolute secret weapon, their ownership of LinkedIn.
This is the definitive B2B arbitrage play. Because excluding the LinkedIn platform itself, which, let's be honest, carries notoriously exorbitant CPCs.
Seriously expensive.
Yeah. But Microsoft Advertising is the only search platform that allows you to overlay LinkedIn profile data directly onto search intent.
Meaning you can target searchers based on their LinkedIn company, their industry, and their specific job function.
Yes. You can layer up to 1,000 specific companies onto a campaign. So if someone searches, like cloud migration services on Bing, you can adjust your bids based on whether that searcher works at a Fortune 500 company or just a 5-person local startup.
That is so powerful.
Yeah.
However, there is a pretty fundamental misconception about how this overlay actually functions.
Mm-hmm.
Migrants approach this assuming it is a strict audience firewall, right?
Yeah, they treat it like a VIP bouncer at a nightclub. They think, okay, I only want to target chief technology officers, so they apply the job function target, assuming the bouncer is keeping anyone who isn't a CTO from seeing the ad.
Right. But the platform does not operate in target and bid mode for LinkedIn profiles. It operates strictly in what Microsoft calls bid-only mode, which Google users recognize as observation mode.
Exactly. It's not a bouncer. It's a spotter standing next to you inside the club.
I love that.
Yeah. Anyone who types in the keyword can walk through the door, but the spotter taps you on the shoulder and signals you to bid, say, 50% higher the second a verified CTO walks by.
So it allows you to aggressively scale your bids for high-value prospects without cutting off the rest of your search volume.
Precisely. If you don't understand this distinction, you will launch a highly specialized B2B campaign and immediately panic when you see clicks coming from university students or entry-level analysts.
Right, because the LinkedIn layer optimizes your auction aggressiveness.
Yeah.
It does not filter your traffic.
Right. It's an important distinction.
Okay, so to bring all of this together, we really need to talk about migration. How do we take an optimized Google Ads account and reconstruct it here without triggering all these traps we've discussed? Let's build the campaign skeleton.
Sounds good. So imagine you're running lead gen for a business travel agency. Let's call it Sky High Travels.
Okay.
When you build out that initial search campaign skeleton on Microsoft, you establish your daily budget and set your bid strategy. Now, even if your ultimate KPI is a strict cost per acquisition, you must start with maximized clicks.
Wait, really? Why start with clicks if I want conversions?
Because the algorithm is starting with literally zero historical data in this specific ecosystem, it needs conversion volume to establish a baseline before it can mathematically optimize for CPA.
Oh, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Furthermore, keeping in mind the algorithm's need for clean signals, you construct tightly themed ad groups.
Exactly. You isolate 3 to 5 exact match keywords, like, I don't know, corporate flight book in New York, to leverage that explicit auction tiebreaker we talked about.
You set a conservative default CPC, perhaps $1.50 or $2, and you just let the campaign accumulate auction data.
Yeah, let it learn.
Now, building one skeleton manually is a great learning exercise, but nobody wants to manually rebuild an account with 500 campaigns.
No, nobody has time for that.
Microsoft knows this, which is why the Import Center is so heavily promoted. You just authenticate via OAuth, select the Google Ads account, and hit import. But I know how seamless OAuth data mapping looks on the surface, but taking complex algorithmic architectures from one platform and forcing them into another is never a perfect one-to-one translation. So what is the actual failure rate of that import tool? What am I coming back to after I grab that coffee?
So the import tool is mechanically sound, but the disaster really lies in assumed fidelity. Marketers click import, they assume a perfect translation, and they walk away. But the structural differences we've covered dictate that the import just cannot be seamless.
Give me a specific mapping failure. What actually breaks during the transfer?
Well, bid strategies are the most common casualty. If you import a Google campaign running on a target impression share strategy, Microsoft system flags it because they do not support that specific algorithmic model in the same way.
Okay, so it fails the import and sends an alert.
Nope. Rather than alerting you, the system silently defaults that campaign to manual CPC.
Wait, seriously? It just silently switches to manual.
Silently. You think you have sophisticated automated bidding defending your branded terms, but you're actually sitting there with static manual bids, just bleeding impression share to competitors while you sleep.
That is wild.
And other elements fail just as quietly. Location targeting parameters often expand broadly upon import if the precise geographic radius from Google doesn't match Microsoft's mapping nodes perfectly.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Certain site link and image extensions will fail to migrate and require manual re-upload. Your daily budgets might exhaust at 10 a.m. because Microsoft CPCs are lower, leading to faster click velocity on broad terms.
Right. So a post-import audit isn't just a best practice recommendation. It is an absolute requirement. You have to comb through the campaign settings, verify the bid strategy didn't silently revert, check the location, target, and precision, and validate all your device bid modifiers.
You really have to. You are adapting to a new operational dialect. Hmm. But if you respect the structural differences, audit your imports and leverage the specific tools Microsoft offers, the ROI arbitrage is incredibly lucrative.
So let's summarize the migrant survival kit for everyone. First, internalize that bid strategies are campaign level only, which forces a tighter, much more disciplined ad group architecture.
Yes.
Second, lock in your time zone immediately and ensure your tracking template utilizes that old Perl placeholder so the server actually resolves your destination links.
Critical.
Third, leverage the exact match algorithmic tiebreaker to dominate close auctions. Fourth, utilize LinkedIn targeting as a good modifier spotter to aggressively capture B2B intent.
Mm.
And finally, audit absolutely everything that passes through the import center.
Perfect summary. It is a phenomenal sandbox for performance marketers willing to put in the localized work. But beyond the immediate arbitrage of cheaper CPCs, there is a much larger shift happening beneath the surface here, specifically with Copilot.
Yeah, I've been thinking about that. Seeing a 73% higher click-through rate when an ad is contextualized as a conversational voice inside an AI chat, it kind of forces a broader realization. We are watching user behavior pivot away from traditional keyword queries.
We really are. And it demands a pretty fundamental question about the future of our whole industry. If the interface of tomorrow is a fluid, adaptive conversation rather than a static page of 10 blue links, the traditional search engine results page is basically living on borrowed time.
Yeah.
Microsoft advertising isn't just an alternative platform to capture cheaper leads today. It is actively giving you a live environment to practice the conversational performance marketing of the next decade.
I mean, you're learning the platform for the ROI arbitrage, but you might actually be training for the death of the traditional SRP.
Honestly, yeah.
We'll leave you to mull that over. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. We'll catch you next time.